Hello, folks. Welcome to another FS Ride Along, a series of knickknack podcast episodes dedicated to recording my virtual travels and views in the world of simulation with ties to the real world when applicable. This will be season 7, episode 28, and I'm calling it 100 because somehow this is the 100th audio episode of FS Ride Along. I am so grateful to all of those who have listened to this little series and those who have agreed to come on for interviews in the past. It is really astounding. Thanks as well, of course, to Simply Magpie Flying Club and Virtual Airline for the support with the website, and Attica Attica for allowing me to use their catchy and fitting track, Catch Me If You Can, in the opening and closing of these episodes. A song that, in my view, really fits my virtual globetrotting. The idea, you know, catch up with me if you can. You'll never catch up with my virtual globetrotting because it never ends. Speaking of virtual globetrotting, let's talk about Leg 11 of Simply Magpie Extreme Tour, which is finally complete. The Extreme Tour started in my hometown of Chico, California, KCIC, in the northern part of the state of California, in the U.S., and ended as of a couple hours ago, about 21:30 UTC, in Newcastle, England, in the United Kingdom. My notes for this final leg will be relatively brief, aside from my love of stats, which of course I will delve into, because what neurodivergent person doesn't love stats? I made it into Newcastle, like I said, around 21:30 ZT. Today, by my standards, September 12th. 2021. I started the flight on April 30th, so it took me a bit, and I appreciate your patience with how long it took me. And you know, maybe it's all the hours I've spent in the normally aspirated Cirrus SR22 from Torque Sim at this point. Maybe it's something else, but the flight planning, overwater segments, and in-route engine, and fuel management, and all that stuff came pretty easily this leg. So easily, and so simply, really, that I got restless within the first hour of leaving Northern Iceland. I managed to luck out and stay ahead of the crummy weather that hurricane season is sending across the Atlantic, with its origin point being in the Caribbean and Central Atlantic. And it's really incredibly interesting to me how the weather flow works around the hurricanes, especially this time of year, but definitely try and avoid the Atlantic this time of year, I will say that, if you have the choice. But I did manage to luck out and stay ahead of the weather, so that was good. And I will add, generally speaking, it really isn't advisable doing GA past about 50 degrees north or so this late in the year or too early in the year. Your best bet, June to July, I'd say, for doing kind of this northern Great Circle route sort of thing, or trying to do a Great Circle route. I failed miserably, but I did try. You also, of course, get longer days as when you're close to the solstice. So, for this leg, I uplifted 70.3 gallons of virtual 100 low lead and would have found myself $723.13 US poor based on the price of fuel in Keflavik. I couldn't actually get the price for fuel at Bravo Indio Alfa Romeo, unfortunately. And of course, it really doesn't help that the fuel is sold in liters, because liters are smaller than gallons. Metric madness! Metric madness, I say! As I say, the crossing from Iceland to Scotland was really pretty dull. Lots of clouds, and using anti-fluid, but it was nowhere near as bad as the Canadian Lakes earlier in the flight back in May and April. I went Lena Peak, exhaust gas temperature, and the fuel flow was as good as it gets for this plane, about 12.5 gallons an hour for most of it. That works out to about 15 miles per gallon if you prefer the car conversion. I know most of you, again, are metrically minded folks, and that's understandable because the metric system makes sense if you weren't raised with the imperial system. But I must apologize because my math energy inputting this episode together ran out at a certain point. So if you want to convert all those figures I just gave you into metric figures, you're on your own for that with the math. Sorry. Please use your nearest portable or not so portable electronic device. Suffice to say, again, riding in an airliner's steerage compartment is much more efficient than a general aviation aircraft across the North Atlantic. Although, I definitely think I would go along for the ride on a North Atlantic ferry trip if I ever had the opportunity. I know of no better way to see Greenland. And having flown to Europe in airliner steerage in the real world twice before, I would really like to see Greenland a little bit closer up. Not actually on the ground, but, you know, just like 9,000 feet or so. That would be cool. I've also watched some YouTube videos on Greenland. Very interesting. Iceland, also interesting and cool. Definitely want to go to Iceland, as I say. But yeah, it definitely makes more sense to take an airliner than it does to take a general aviation aircraft across the North Atlantic. Towards the end of the flight, of course, there was some more VNAV weirdness. I just went along with it at this point. It just slowly drifted me down way sooner than it should have. North of Glasgow, I think, was where it started me down. It was just like, you know what? I'll gain airspeed as I descend. I don't have to decrease power that much. Fuel flow isn't increasing all that much. Screw it. I'm not flying online. Who cares? I'll take the increased airspeed. I want to get there. Was sort of what was going through my mind at that point. You know, the main goal was getting the wheels gently onto the pavement of runway 07 at Newcastle. A feat that I accomplished reasonably well this time, relative to all the other landings on this stupid trip. Of course, X-plane slope runways were a bit of an issue on rollout, which struck me as odd considering that it's the scenery I have for Newcastle is an Orbix scenery, and I have Orbix True Earth Central Great Britain. So you would think that would work well together and you wouldn't have issues with majorly sloping runway, but I had an issue with majorly sloping runway, so what are you going to do? But the scenery for Newcastle was very, very nice. The airport layout, it's been a while since I've been to Newcastle. The airport layout is really pretty funky, especially if you are GA, you don't want to slam on the brakes, so you have to taxi, or at least I taxied past the airliner area, back across the runway to get to the general aviation area, just because I didn't, you know, I looked at the airport diagram and I was like, you know, I'm not going to try and get stopped that quickly. My preference for GA in the sim anyway is to try and take it easy on the brakes. I still end up having to replace the brakes on the Torxim SR22 every damn time, but I really do try. The challenge of a castering nose wheel. What can I say? Because it's not a 172, you can't steer with the rudder on the ground. You have to use differential braking, which can be a challenge if that's not something that you are so great at, especially in the simulator. But at any rate, the scenery looked great. Other than the bumps in the runway, it was a very nice arrival. And it was very, very nice to have this big, huge project, this big, huge thing, finally done after a little over 4 months, because I kept getting distracted by my airliner habits. So it is done. And for those of you interested in the final stats, here's a selection of some. Further stats will be available, of course, in the show notes at fsridealong.com. The approximate fuel bill for 100 of the lead would have been a total of $4,224.09. And that would have been approximately 522.43 U.S. gallons of virtual 100 mil lead. That's a lot of 100 mil lead. The flying time gate-to-gate in total across the legs, 37.12 hours. The time in the air itself, approximately 35.14 hours. And the log trip distance, considerably greater than the Great Circle, because of the weather issues I had as I was approaching Hudson Bay and having to carefully avoid the higher terrain as I was crossing the Sierras or the Cascades and the Rockies. So all that meant that my final trip mileage was 5,508 nautical miles. The Great Circle distance, for reference, is 4,355.5 nautical miles. So, if I were dispatching that and I came up with this route, I would get laughed out of the dispatch office because that is an 11% distance increase. Ridiculous. Average ground speed was 157 knots. The more I went lean a peak in the later legs to try and make sure I had the range and fuel and all that good stuff, the lower the ground speed became. So that's kind of a low ground speed. I would, you know, 166 should be closer, 166, 170, depending on winds, but it's still not too bad overall. It works out to, here I've done the math for you, 180 miles an hour, or 289 kilometers per hour if you prefer. And I will include just a reference image from SkyVector of the Great Circle route versus the route I actually took. And you will laugh your behind off. You will think to yourself, this person took dispatching classes? Are you sure? And yes, I did. For reference, I dropped the class. Still, I did take the class, and I did take other aviation classes. I'm not entirely stupid, just somewhat limited in some areas, I suppose. So, some other stats relevant. I've spent 109 hours and 25 minutes over 55 flights in the normally aspirated version of the Cirrus SR-22 provided by TorqueSim. It is a great airplane. There are a few kinks, but it is overall a wonderful airplane. Most enjoyable GA airplane I've yet flown in a simulator, quite honestly. The A2A Bonanza is pretty close, and I like the Bonanza more as an airplane, but as a simulator, I think TorqueSim, working around the default Laminar G1000, has ended up being able to put together a better product simply because they were able to build off the Laminar G1000, which is, like I said, in the simulation market, the best G1000 simulation in the consumer flight sim market that I am aware of. If you know of something better, let me know, because of course I would like to play with it, because I love avionics. Anyway, this is all interesting that I've spent so much time in the SR-22. It's in fact the plane I've logged the most time with in the 9 months that I've been tracking with Volanta. Prior to that, in my Project Fly era, I mostly flew Boeing airliners, namely the 737 and the 787. since Quality Wings came out with that a number of years ago. 2017, maybe? I'm not sure. But, yeah, it's that's quite a remarkable change from having your most flown plane being an airliner to a GA aircraft. Interesting. Now, granted, I'm flying a million-dollar GA aircraft, so I'm not flying, you know, I'm not sitting there with a 172 or something, or 152 or whatever, but still, that's a huge change, huge shift in flying habits, kind of. Of course, you know, the reason I like the Cirrus is because it's got the G1000, it's got automation up the wazoo, as do all G1000 equipped, G1000, G3000, all that stuff, all the glass panel aircraft these days come chock full of automation, and I love avionics and automation, so that's why I enjoy the Cirrus so much. So the overall flight stats and update on my log that I've been keeping of my flight sim hours since November 4th, 2018, now having tracked it for 1,036 days, my virtual logbook total since that time, and I've been simming long before that, but since that time, I've now racked up 7,087.66 hours and completed 1,529 flights. My average daily log time is 6.84 hours. My average flight length, a little longer than I would like it to be, 4.63 hours. That's a strange average because most of the flights I do are, well, maybe, obviously it's not most of the flights I do, but it seems like many of the flights I do are long-haul airliner overnight stuff that allows me to do auto-step climb and take naps and such. So that, you would think that would skew the average higher, but apparently I do enough, you know, small hops in GA aircraft and 737s and A320s and the like to balance it out, and you end up with 4.63. Interesting how math works. Overall, again, this has been a very educational experience, this Simply Magpie Extreme Tour. It was a crazy idea I got on a whim as I was flying the California coast and getting bored and thinking to myself, oh, I need somewhere new to fly. I know, I'll fly to Newcastle. I haven't done Simply Magpie stuff in a while. I'll fly to Newcastle. And it was just, it was that random. And yeah, it took 4 months, but hey, I actually completed the darn thing. Amazing. And it's been, like I said, been amazingly educational. I've learned about a great deal about piston engine management. I've, of course, been able to learn the laminar version of the G1000 as best I can. And it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. Like I said, I enjoy avionics. I enjoy automation. I am only a virtual pilot, but still I'm very much one of those virtual pilots with the bad habit of loving the magenta line more than I should. I will readily admit that. Hand flying, it's a pain in the ass. I don't like it. What can I say? It's just me. If you have the opportunity, and you have, you know, 30-odd hours to spare, I would definitely recommend giving this sort of trip a try in the simulator. Obviously, don't do it in real life unless you have the training, sign-offs, clearances, all that stuff. But in a simulator, go for it. It's, you have nothing to lose. All you have to do is get the opportunity to learn more, and that's something that I always enjoy. Even if I fail, it's the learning process is always inspiring. I would just say, from having done this both too early in the year and too late in the year, try to do, obviously in the Northern Hemisphere, try to do it in, you know, June, July, that sort of time frame. Southern Hemisphere, I don't think you could do an Antarctic Great Circle route off the top of my head with a GA airplane. I don't think that would work out anywhere on the map that I can think of. But obviously, you would want to probably do that around December or January if you were in the Southern Hemisphere. So, anyway. So far as I know, there isn't a modern piston single that could do something like St. John's in Newfoundland to Shannon in Ireland without ferry tanks. If I am wrong, please politely let me know, because I may be fool enough to want to try it in the sim. I'm now wanting to look up Charles Lindbergh and crossing the Atlantic and other sorts of things, because, well, I technically got from North America to Europe. I did so by roughly trying to do the Great Circle island hopping thing, which is the only thing you could do with the range of the Cirrus without ferry tanks. But it would be much, it would feel like a much greater accomplishment if I actually did it all one shot over water, again, something like St. John's to Shannon. I'm sure that would take a long time, because there's got to be something like 3,000 miles, 2,700 miles, something like that. So it's a long, long ways. And, you know, for the record, granted, most airliners don't leave from St. John's, but, you know, if you have favorable winds, an A319 can possibly make that, a 737-600, maybe a 700 could possibly make that, 757 can make that, but, you know, suffice it to say, up until recently, with the release of the A220, 737 MAX, and of course the NEOs, that sort of distance was way too much, even for many airliners. It's a huge distance. So, but I would like to try and figure out a way to make, I wonder if I can make St. John's to Shannon happen. Maybe that's my next mission, figure out how to do that without, you know, cheating through the fuel menu, because that's just, no. I'm not even willing to, I'll occasionally make exceptions, but most of the time, I have this kind of informal rule where the last place I landed is the next place I have to take off from. I break the rule occasionally, but for the most part, that's the way I do it, and it was for this reason that I ended up landing in Newcastle After Dark, because I did a commemoration flight of my own, flying the complete flight from Boston to LAX in a 767-200ER yesterday on the 11th, and then, knowing that I need to complete this, I did a Cirrus leg from Santa Monica up to Oakland, which was a lot of fun. And then, again, knowing that I wanted to complete this leg and get it done, I had to get myself back to Iceland. So that meant an overnight flight from Oakland to Keflavik in the 767 from Flight Factor. And admittedly, I fell asleep longer than I should have. I needed to sleep, but I did step climb much later than I should have, because it doesn't step climb. But it's a challenging way to do simulation, and it does make it interesting. You know, it is a game in many, 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 many ways. It can be educational, you know, edutainment sort of thing, but it is a game in many, many ways, and I really, really enjoy it, as you can hopefully tell. And again, one of the reasons this flight took so long is because I kept, as I was doing this flight, I kept getting restless and wanting to go back to my airliners. So, with the exception of the Canada stuff, where I broke my rule, because there's no way you could get, you know, reasonably think of an excuse to take off with an airliner from many of the Canadian airports that I was landing at, much less no way you could get an airliner off of many of the Canadian airports that I used as I was going through Canada. But except for that section, you know, when I landed in Sondrestrom, I immediately got an airliner and went from Sondrestrom to Keflavik, I think. Or either that or just skip right to Keflavik, because I figured that was close enough. But I just kept distracting myself with airliners in both P3D and X-Plane, so it took much longer than it should have. Plus, you know, you've got my fluctuating energy capacity, but it's done. Recently, like I've been mentioning, I got the Flight Factor 767. It can be a bit funky in places, but it beats the hell out of Captain Sim, hands down, I think. I've flown it, I think, for 4 legs at this point, so it's, you know, still pretty new to me, but I really like it. And it defaults to Cold and Dark, so I have to relearn how to do a 767 from Cold and Dark, because I usually don't start Cold and Dark. But it has been an interesting learning experience. I'm getting better. Airliners and X-Plane are just as fun as GA and X-Plane. I've also been flying the Flight Factor A350 a little bit more. That one, I wouldn't recommend unless you can be patient with the fact that it's not as complete as one would like it to be. But so far as I know, it's the only 350 we have available at the moment. And a 350 is a 350, and the 350 is a cool airplane. I like the Airbus. I like the systems. I love the visual FMGS interface. Once I got it figured out, it took me forever to figure out how to program it, because for some reason the visual part threw me for a loop. But once I got there, the 350 is a fun airplane. And, you know, it doesn't have auto-step climb, and it's, you know, like I said, it's lacking some features and finesse, and it definitely isn't a high-fidelity simulation, but it is a fun airplane to fly. If you are looking to try an airliner in the X-Plane world, I would recommend the 7.6 over the 350, but the 350 is definitely fun. So that's what's had me so distracted recently. I've also been, I did one test flight, just a little bit of playing around with the Zeebo mod, and I've got to say, I like it. It has a ton of bugs, but I do like it. And from the systems level, in many ways, it's more accurate, I think, than the PMDG 737, and I've flown the PMDG 737 for years, since FS9 days, so I definitely like the Zeebo. It's an interesting little mod. What can I say, I'm an X-Plane fan these days. And you know, X-Plane is refreshing to me for many, many reasons. Freeware is a huge plus, especially if you're on a budget. Yeah, the freeware can be a pain to install, and you have to kind of geek out to figure that out. But, gosh darn it, it's worth it. I've been able to open up so many airports that either weren't modeled on the P3D side, or I couldn't afford. I flew into Cairo the other day, that was fun. I plan to fly into Mumbai at some point, that'll be fun. And you know, I just keep adding them, and they're not necessarily the most up-to-date, extremely high-fidelity airports, which is kind of a good thing, because if you buy a payware scenery for P3D, it's pretty much guaranteed to be at least 2 gigs, whereas freeware scenery for X-Plane, 500 megs, maybe, 250, 500 megs. It's much more reasonable in a lot of ways. The only aspect of the X-Plane mods I've and freeware I've invested time in that isn't so friendly on Drive Space is, of course, Ortho. That's a whole nother story, but I'm so thankful for V-States. Thank you, Vertical Sim. Thank you. You are awesome. Anyway, the freeware stuff, it's awesome. It takes me back to the days pre-FSX, those wonderful glory days of my yesteryear. There are bugs, installation can be a pain, but it's so nice. And I did make sure to order an online ticket to FS Expo. I can't make it in person because I don't feel safe traveling right now, and I couldn't afford San Diego even if I wanted to, despite the fact that it's, you know, 660 miles away or so, which doesn't seem like that much, but it's a lot when you're on a tight budget, so. But I will be doing it online, and I'm looking forward to that. And hearing all the plans that Laminar Research has in store, because I'm excited for the future of X-Plane. Very, very excited. Avionics and automation is my joy, and X-Plane does that pretty damn well, so. I'm not ashamed to say I'm a child of the Magenta line, because I'm a virtual pilot, not a real-world pilot, so go away. Again, I'll be going to the online FS Expo show. Check it out. $15 less, 13 I think, if you have a Flight Association membership. So, not bad at all for an online conference and to get to hear all about what Laminar is up to and plus many other presenters as well. Again, wish I could make it to San Diego, but alas, I cannot. So, I hope you've enjoyed FS Ride Along so far. It's, again, amazing that 100 of these have been cranked out, some of them far better than others. But 100 audio episodes, plus a few video episodes that I tried to experiment with, which I ultimately deleted most of because they didn't go so well. But at least I tried video at some point. So, 100 of these things done. I have thoughts, plans, ideas for the future. So please stay tuned and check out fsridealong.com. And if you have suggestions, leave feedback on fsridealong.com. Leave a positive, constructive review in one of the podcast apps, if that's your desire. Or send me an email. nicnacpod.net. That's nicnacpod.net. Let me know what you're thinking, what you want to hear more of, what you want to hear less of. Just please be kind and constructive about it. And again, many, 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 many thanks to Simply Magpie, Virtual Flying Club, and Virtual Airline based in Newcastle, United Kingdom. Check them out at Simply Magpie on the web. And if you enjoyed this episode, please, please, please consider supporting my work by donating at fsridealong.com or, like I said, leaving a constructive review in your favorite podcast app. I'm also thinking maybe it'd be good to split the feed again, so if you have thoughts on that, let me know. Again, support for FS Ride-Along comes from listeners like yourself and Simply Magpie Virtual Airline and Flying Club based in Newcastle, England. Find them on the web at simplymagpie.co.uk. The music is Catch Me If You Can by Attica Attica. I thank Attica Attica so much for letting me use the song. You can find more of their awesome music at atticaattica.bandcamp.com. Link, of course, in the show notes at fsridealong.com. The Knick Knack Podcast and FS Ride Along series is copyright 2006 through 2021 by Knick Knack Marsh and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial 4.0 International License. I thank you so much for taking the time to listen. Happy landings. Bye.
Peter's moved on down to Asheville. No, now he wasn't. isn't quite as big. I'll see Hawaii, yet I swear someday I will. But right now, North Carolina calls my name. Then I'll meet Jamie in Kentucky, and I'll see Katie in D.C. And I'll find Mikhail out on the Reaper Pond as soon as I can find my way back across the sea. So catch me if you can. I'm running hard without a compass or a plan. So catch me if you can. I'm on the road. I hear that Brett's still in Seattle. That boy and I can dance all night. And my Portland crew, yeah, we know a thing or two about sipping Jerry, riding bikes and shooting knives. I plan to find Brian in London, but that is gonna have to wait. I'm still in Brooklyn, yeah, I'm scrapping with old friends, and then I'm heading upstate. So catch me if you can. I'm running hard without a compass or a plan. So catch me if you can. With these old friends I've got, I'm at a constant trot just to track them all across the globe. I'd love to stay the week, but my restless feet are already towards the I miss my gram in Tampa Bay. I miss Teresa Genie's at my labor side, even though it happens damn near every day. I'm heading back to Buenos Aires to meet my sister in the park. We'll spend December in the smiling summer sun,